Blog Talk Radio.
From their studio in the Feeding Arizona building in Youngtown, Arizona, it's the Boomer and the Babe Show with Pete Peters and Deborah Brown. Join Pete and Deborah and their guests as they give voice to 78 million baby boomers from coast to coast and border to border. Now here are the Boomer and the Babe, Pete Peters and Deborah Brown.
And it is the Boomer and the Babe Show here in Youngtown, Arizona at the Valley View Community Food Bank offices and also offices of Feeding Arizona. Valley View Community Food Bank is a worthy, very worthy 501c3 that people can donate to if you're so interested. Contact them at valleyviewcommunityfoodbank.com. Send them a little email if you're interested in doing any kind of donation whatsoever, whether it's time, money, or food. No donation is too small. The Valley View Community Food Bank, where the food is always free to those who need it. As I said, I'm Pete Peters. It is Tuesday, April 3rd, 2012. And where has the first quarter gone, as I said yesterday? I want to remind everybody that we do more than just this radio show. The Boomer and the Babe Incorporated is involved in things like e-books and also mini-books. Many of our e-book authors have their own shows on the Boomer and the Babe Network here on Blog Talk. We also produce website videos with promotional products, and we consult for small businesses. We are truly a multifaceted, multimedia marketing company. The latest addition to our family of products is Boomer Experience Speaks, an online magazine. You can subscribe to it. It is absolutely free. Please go to boomerandthebabe.com. That's boomerandthebabe.com. Right on the front page, there's a place to sign up for the magazine, and you will be getting it in your inbox once a month. Always good information and also a lot of good comments and commentary and content from our show hosts as well as some of our radio show guests. Well, we have, speaking of interesting information and a person that really knows her way around many of the boomer things that we talk about on the show and in the magazine, our guest today is well known as a branding expert, both personal branding and also helping your business brand and discovering your brand, developing your brand, and so on. She's written a book, and the book is The Essentials of Fabulous. She is Ellen Lubin Sherman. So, Ellen Lubin Sherman, please tell us a little bit more about yourself and how did you come to write this book that we're going to be talking about today? And welcome to the Boomer the Babe Show.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity. I love to talk about this subject. As a branding expert and as someone who works with people over 50 who have come to me as an executive coach who have, you know, either been downsized or are coming back into the workplace, I started to feel that if they were not exuding fabulousness, if they were not completely with it and on it and so enthusiastic and brimming with excitement, they were never going to get a chance at what they wanted. They were never going to get to that goal. So to me, the reputation of being fabulous means that you have nailed all 10 things that I mentioned in the book. And they have nothing to do with the kind of car you drive or the kind of house you live in. They have to do with your character and how you present yourself.
How is it that you became interested in this topic, I'm assuming some time ago? What was it that motivated you to be, that showed your interest in the topic, and where did it first stem from?
Well, you know, I fought it. I fought using the word fabulous in the title for a long time because I didn't want to imply that I was fabulous and I was such an expert on fabulous and I was going to tell you, you know, how to cook a great fabulous meal. But it became pretty obvious that I used the word fabulous a lot. And I used it to describe somebody who was just memorable and witty and clever and warm and accessible. And those are the people I wanted to be like, I wanted to spend time with, I wanted to model myself after. So I decided to go with the word fabulous. And it because fabulous gets you to where you want to go. And if you deride it, if you put it off or you think it's not important, you are actually sabotaging your chances at accomplishing your goals.
So a person can be fabulous and known as being fabulous. A business can be known as being a fabulous business. And it encompasses many things. And in reading through your book, in the introduction, there are 10 plus traits of the truly and completely fabulous. And
well, funny. The New Yorker did a piece this week about Uniqlo, which is sort of like the Japanese Gap. Right now, there are only 2 stores in America, and both of them are in New York City. And they were talking about how stores have actually trimmed all their salespeople. And so you walk into a store, sort of like Home Depot, and you can't find anybody to help you. So you walk around and you look at the aisles, and then you go to Uniqlo, and they just have so much help. You walk in, and they right away spot the fact you're not familiar, and they use their microphone. They tell somebody to come down. They get you. They bring a bag for you. And they said that while it seems so obvious that they have a lot of help, it also makes you want to stay in the store longer because they're doing such a fabulous job. They're putting things together for you. They're saying, can I show you something else? So this is a store that's banking on a fabulous experience for the shopper. Just as a person who puts emphasis on fabulous knows that later on, if they need to get an introduction or they would like someone to perhaps give them a referral or a reference letter, they've already established they're fabulous, and they don't worry about putting someone in a bind or asking for a favor. They know they're fabulous. They can go and ask, would you do me a favor and make a phone call for me? They've built that reputation, just like Uniqlo is a constantly repeat experience because there's so much help and the people are so lovely to work with.
Would you say that building the brand or building the fabulousness, I guess that's a word, is that an ongoing practice?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you could always be more fabulous. I forgot to send a thank you note from somebody, writing me last week. I immediately got to it this week and apologized for the delay. I mean, look, we're human, we're busy, we're overstretched. There's so many reasons why we just can't. You know, years ago, the lady would stay at home and she would write her thank you notes. And today, every woman is at work and you come home, you have to do laundry and take care of the kids. Everybody's doing double shifts. The thing is, though, if you make the goal of fabulous as something that's part of your life, you will have the grease that will move you along. You know, people sabotage themselves. I went out to get Dunkin' Donuts coffee. The woman was on the cell phone, and she was talking while the woman behind the counter was trying to find out what kind of coffee she wanted. And the woman kept putting her hand up like, shh, I'm on the phone. Now, this is something that I don't understand. She came in to order coffee. She's making a phone call, and she's telling the woman behind the counter, be quiet, I'm on a phone. This, to me, is how we've earned the reputation for being rude and self-absorbed. So, you know, this woman needs to read my book. I mean, this woman needs to have someone say to her, whatever your name is, you have to stop this, because this is going to generate another generation of very rude people. And we're really suffering from it. We're suffering.
Well, as busy as we all are, and I'll go along with the fact that we're busy. I'll go along with the fact that we're so involved in so many things that something has to settle for second best, if you will. But to my way of thinking, it shouldn't necessarily be manners and decency. I mean, how long does it take you to say thank you? How long does it take you to hold the door open for somebody? You always have time for the common decencies, I would think. But we've certainly got away from them, haven't we?
But you know what's fun? It's funny. I agree with you. And those great manners really matter. They matter in terms of our social experience, the way we get through the day. Those are wonderful moments. But think about it from a marketing perspective. Though by acting correctly and going out of your way for someone, you get on their radar screen. They remember you. They see you another time. They wave hello. You've established a little bond with them. And, you never know where that bond is going to take you. And people just think they can get through life alone. And I've got news for you. You can't. We all need help climbing the mountain. And whatever your goal is, you can't do it alone. And people that do it alone, they just don't get there. Everyone needs a group of people around them that are going to help them. And you don't know if it's that person that you held the door for or the person that you said good morning to. It's good manners, but it's also good strategy because you're leaving an imprint on somebody's memory bank.
Well, it used to be the case where your parents, my parents, would always say your pleases and thank yous. Mind your P's and Q's, all of those types of things, those old cliche type things. And it really is the case, and I know this because I mean I'll say please or thank you to somebody at a counter, lunch counter or whatever the case might be. I'll say thank you, and they're serving me for a meal or whatever, and I say thank you, and they almost look at you as if you're strange. Who is this person saying thank you? My goodness. And it's just not heard. And it's what I like to think of as part of my personal brand, and Deborah does the same, and her personal brand. It's part of what we are in the marketplace, is that if nothing else, we try to be courteous. And people remember that.
Oh, my goodness. Great manners. You know, they talk about, some of the most iconic figures, and they don't even have to be new. I read recently that David Boies, the attorney who represented Al Gore before the Supreme Court, was in a restaurant with another man, and the man... they bumped into a friend of the other man, and suddenly the man that David Boies was with had to take a phone call. So he left the restaurant, and he left the restaurant with David Boies and the friend of the man who went to get the phone call. Now, David Boies has a huge practice. He's well-regarded. I mean, you mentioned his name. He's like at the top of the top. He did not leave the restaurant until his friend returned. Now, he very easily could have said to this gentleman, the stranger, you know what, I'm going to catch up on some emails. It was great to meet you. But out of sheer courtesy and respect, he waited till his friend returned and didn't leave the man alone. That's mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling. Who does that today? Everybody pretends they're so busy. And, when you talk about brand, I've got to tell you that yes, I believe in branding. Oh, so important. But I'm really talking about your character, your image, your reputation, your legacy. The reason we buy one cereal over another is because we like the packaging. If you didn't know if this cereal was better than that cereal, wouldn't you pick the one that had the better looking package?
Sure, you always go with what's more attractive.
You always do. That's how they, That's how they create that need. You didn't even need the cereal, and suddenly you spot this great-looking box. You go, you know, maybe I'll try it. So we have to look at the way we present ourselves, the way we act, the way we speak, the way we behave, the fact that this that story has never left my memory. If I ever saw that man, David Boies, I would go up to him and say, you know what? I read a story about you, and it impressed me that your manners were so top-notch. And it also says something about his character. He didn't leave the guy alone. He waited.
Right.
He didn't think of himself as so self-important.
Yeah, self-absorbed. He certainly was not self-absorbed. I was, in regard to what you were saying about the package or whatever it is that is attractive in it, and it makes you at least look at it. I had that occasion just the other day. I was in the grocery store, and as I'm walking through on one of the end caps on one of the aisles, there is a whole big display of potato chips. Now, a big display of potato chips does not in and of itself mean anything to me one way or another, except that these potato chips, it was perfectly well established that they were a new type of potato chip, and on the cover of the bag, there was a bacon chili dip kind of a flavor, supposedly, and it was a picture of bacon chili dip. It looked really good. There was another one that was a chili con carne flavor, and it had this bowl of chili con carne, and it made you think of, oh, I wonder if those chips really taste that way. It really tastes as good as this package looks. Now, I didn't buy it, but that's, I think, an example of what you're talking about. At least it made me take pause, and it made me look. Now, as an individual, are there things that you can do as an individual that will make people take pause and make you them take a look and maybe a listen to what you're saying?
Absolutely. There's so many things we can do. First of all, take pride in your appearance. Really make the day count. Start out by walking out the door looking sharp. I mean, freshly groomed, hair looking great, shoes polished, you've cut your nails if you're a gentleman. You know, you just look spit polished great. Then when you walk out that door, whatever your problems are, whatever your complaints are, leave them behind and step out the door and greet the day with a smile. You know, there are so many people, I always say this, and I hate to sound macabre, there are so many people in a hospital room that are staring out a window that wish they could go out in the streets. Why Right. don't we appreciate our joy and luck in being able to enjoy the day? I'm a very big optimist, and I think that we all need to be more optimistic. Now you're out going to work or going to your volunteer activities or meeting friends, smile. Initiate a hello. Put your cell phone down if you meet someone. You know, show all the good manners that you've been taught. Be warm. Be accessible. Say hello to a stranger. All those things matter. They make you look like you're full of energy. I mean, I've been out of work. I remember many years ago I had been downsized from a job. And I can tell you this, and I'm not lying. I was out of a job for maybe 12 weeks. Not one day did I not look like I was going to work. I was able to convince people I was off to somewhere because I was dressed in my full battle regalia. I know so many people that just throw in the towel when things go bad, and they lose that edge. This packaging that I'm talking about is what makes you the potato chip bag that you must pick up. And you do it by taking care of the details. It's all about the details. If your shirt has a pen mark on it, put some zoot on it and throw it back into the washing machine. Do not wear it and feel like you're, oh my God, I hope I don't bump into anybody. I look terrible. I can't tell you how many people say that to me. And meanwhile, the whole point of networking is not going to a party with your name tag on. Networking is what you do every day. saying hello to people, initiating the hello, initiating the smile, looking terrific, looking polished, gorgeous. That's what I call networking, looking like a million bucks.
That's interesting because when you were saying that, it brought something to mind that Deborah's mother, now deceased, was not feeling well as she was nearing the end of her days, and she would go to see doctors, which she hated to do. She despised going to doctors. But when she went to the doctor, she got dressed. And
yep.
the reason she got dressed is, as she said, she's a Southern lady, and she said because when she doesn't get dressed, not that she feels that much better, it's that she looks better, and the doctor has a better image of who she is. And she looks like, as they said in the South, or as she said, I look like somebody come, like I'm somebody. And I want that doctor to know me. I want that doctor to look at me and give me the best care he has.
Oh, it's absolutely true. I mean, first of all, the woman had tremendous courage and high self-esteem. She was
right.
Not about to play the pity card and go in and have the doctor, you know, go get all nervous and a flutter that she wasn't feeling well. She took pride in her appearance. It's so important. You know, people, it's internal and external. You got to feel good about yourself in order to exude this idea of being fabulous. You have to. How do you do that? Because externally, you've given this message, and it's nonverbal, but you've given a message. You're high on yourself. You like yourself. You're happy in your skin. You ought to get to know me. I mean, that's what I keep telling my clients. You want people to get intrigued by you, to wonder what you're about, to be, you know, curious, find out what you do. And that gets all that positive energy back into your life. Unfortunately, people just get sucked into being very pessimistic and feeling very sorry about the whole situation. And look, times are tough. I'm not negating that. But we have to push through. We have to keep pushing. Pushing and looking great and being warm and accessible, all those things matter, especially if you're dealing with age. And age can sometimes be a barrier to getting to where you want to go.
Do you think it's this is somewhat of a generational thing? Because I know, for example, my mother, who's 89 years old, she's had a stroke. She doesn't feel good many, many times, and she doesn't go out much, period. She'll go out to dinner with us when we take her out or whatever the case might be, but she goes from putting her house coat on to putting something else on, you know, looking nice, making sure that she has her purse with her, although there's nothing in it except the hanky. She has her purse, and she always makes sure she puts some lipstick on before we walk out the door. And she's 89.
Love it.
Oh,
and
it's a generational thing, I think, at some level now, because it's less with my generation, and in some cases less with my daughter's generation. Although not my daughter and their son-in-law, because he's in a professional, but he's an attorney, and they're always looking good. But and the daughters are just impeccably clad. But the as a rule, I think right now there seems to be a definite laxness in appearance, and therefore a definite laxness in looking fabulous, as you say. And just look at the show that was on, it's probably now off the air, I think, it's called Pan Am, when people dressed up with a coat and a tie to take an airplane ride. Now they go in tennis shorts and the tennis racket strung over their shoulder and a bag that they throw under the seat, and they're ready to go. And it's certainly a different appearance and a different sense, a different attention to detail, let's put it that way.
You know, but here's the interesting thing. What your mother does is she puts the best foot forward.
Yes.
She pulls herself together. She may not feel well, but the presentation is of courage, that she is going to meet this fate, whatever it is, with strength. She's not going softly. She's going with a fight. And when young people, you know, never get dressed properly, or they go to work in a sloppy way, and I take the train into my office and I'm just like aghast. I can't even imagine what kind of job these guys have. I mean, they're wearing like pants that have holes in it and the shirt, and, you know, everything is like so discombobulated. And then a guy will walk in and he's got a suit on, or maybe a sport jacket, a pair of pants, the shirt is crisp, and already my imagination moves up. I start thinking, I wonder what he does. He must have some great job. And that's the whole thing, is that if you want people to be intrigued by you, if you want to have opportunities sort of handed to you, you have to make an effort. You can't just walk around like a slob. There are times to walk around like a slob in your house, when you're relaxed. But when you step out the door, you're on stage, and you're an actor in a play, and you are the star of that show. And if you walk out with that big kind of aura, people are going to be drawn to you. You're going to have so much fun in terms of your life. I just don't get it when people don't take advantage of this opportunity and they throw it away and they end up sabotaging themselves.
What do you say to the naysayers that say, oh, that's just so superficial, it doesn't mean anything? What do you
I'm sorry?
Well, if somebody says to you, that whole idea of dressing for the part and so on and so forth is just so superficial, it doesn't really mean anything. What do you say to those naysayers?
Oh, my God. It's the opposite of superficial. Superficial is not being fabulous, but putting all the emphasis on the veneer, putting all the emphasis on what you look like. This is so deeper. This is about finding yourself, liking yourself, putting out there into the world all the oxygen, all this excitement, brimming with interest, showing what you know, involving yourself in people's conversation, not making it always about you. I really bristle when I hear anybody suggest that it's kind of artificial. This is the counter opposite of being artificial. This is really about marketing yourself as somebody who you should get to know. Marketing yourself as somebody who's on their game, who's with it, who knows things, who's exciting, who when you're in their air, you feel your blood pressure go up. You feel your heart start to beat a little faster. And I'm not kidding. When I'm around those people, I feel like I'm electrified by their energy. We can't miss opportunities. There are so few in a virtual world to get in front of somebody and make that huge impression that whenever we have a chance to do it, we have to grab it. And I also talk about in my book, The Essentials of Fabulous, is a virtual presence, that when we send an email, the subject line should be intriguing. It should be so funny and original, or mention the fact it's time sensitive so somebody looks at it first, so that you brand yourself in an email as someone who's very competent. It's the same thing with voicemail. I listen to the voicemail. The person goes on and on and on. I just don't have the patience. I hear the name, I can see by the caller ID what the number is, and I delete it. And if that's offensive to people, I'm sorry. All you need to say in a voicemail is, hi, this is Ellen. I would always give my full name, my phone number, date of call, repeat of my phone number. I'll call you later. Don't ask people to call you back. Call them back. They're never going to call you back. That's just the way it is.
But you give them the phone number just in case.
I always give my phone number twice in case they didn't get it the first time.
Exactly.
And don't slur your words. 50% of the time, I have to save my messages and listen to them 3 or 4 times to figure out who it was and what their message was. Slow down. That's another way to brand yourself. Consider it. Relaxed. Not a maniac. Somebody who knows it's hard to hear on the phone. It's difficult. People are multitasking. Do it slowly. Give the number. Well, and, of course, if it's, you know, your mother, she doesn't have to give you her number. But
right.
I dislike when people say, hi, it's me, call me back. I know a lot of people named me. I don't know who me is.
Yeah.
Please tell me who you are. Again, these are ways to make yourself into a super performer. That's why fabulous people are super performers, because they think through all the details. Walking a client to the elevator instead of just saying, well, thank you. How about just getting up when somebody shakes your hand? I dislike when people sit when they shake my hand for the first time. I think it's very rude. I think they should stand up, extend their hand, give me a handshake, and then say, why don't you sit down?
Well, the handshake should be a firm handshake, not a bone crusher, but yet not a wet fish, limp fish either. There's nothing worse as far as branding, as far as I'm concerned, when I reach out to shake somebody's hand. Or they extend their hand for me, and I put my hand in there, and I don't give them a strong bone crusher. I just give them a nice firm handshake, and if all of a sudden I feel like I got a bowl of Jello in my hand,
it's terrible. The meta message is, the meta message of that weak handshake is, I'm not fully engaged with life, so my handshake reflects my lack of brio. When somebody gives me a nice, firm handshake, it sets the relationship. It sets up the whole expectations of the relationship. Just as the weak handshake sets up the expectations, this is not going to be fun. This is just going to be what it is, a weak, nothing, unmemorable experience.
That is very, very true, and it's also interesting that what you're saying is very close to what Deborah teaches when she starts talking about personal branding. It's the way you look, it's the way you speak, it's the way you shake hands, it's the way you address people, and so on and so forth. But branding, personal branding in particular, is an expectation. People see and they had the image of you. They have the first physical contact with a handshake, and all of a sudden there's that expectation. Either they expect something or they expect nothing at all because you are such a limp-wristed handshaker. Let's put it that way. But, I mean, it really is an expectation. It is that best foot forward right from the get-go, isn't it? I mean, bang, there it is. Right? You only have one chance to be for the first introduction.
Well, you know, it's funny how you have to be consistent too. Consistency is the hallmark of the true professional. You know, it's if you get a good haircut this week, but you go back in 3 weeks and get a bad haircut, that is not a professional haircutter. That person is not being consistent. It's the same thing with the hellos and the warmth and the greeting and the standing up and the warm handshake and the firm handshake. It has to be consistent. I'm talking about being fabulous the same way I'm telling you have to brush your teeth. Mm-hmm. It may not be something that comes naturally, but I've made it so easy. I've given you how-to, tips, suggestions, how to kind of retweak yourself, how to inflate your tires, how to put that zest into your life, because we only get one shot at it. We get one shot, and I want to go down as somebody who leaves people with the legacy of she squeezed every minute out of every day. She made people feel good about themselves. That's why I talk about in the book about getting rid of people who don't make you feel good about yourself. Unfortunately, women are overly loyal to people who seem to undermine their every effort, their dreams. It's a very bad habit. You should really end that friendship quickly before they take away all chances of what you want to accomplish.
I'm looking here at your book. I have it in front of me, and I really enjoy these little sections or chapters that you have with the lead of whatever it is you're going to be talking about, you know, on a colored page. It's very, very enjoyable to see something that's done like that. I don't know that I've ever seen anything like that before. But I'm looking at the one right now on page 102, I'm sorry.
What page is it?
102. It's kind of a burgundy page, and it's how to appear hipper than you really are. And I'm looking through these things, and I'm going, well, these are nice. These are pretty cool.
Well, I'm fun. I'm having fun there.
Yeah, I know, and I'm thinking, but you know, how true is it? I mean, it's pretty amazing. You can watch Masterpiece Theater and still know that Chris Brown beat up Rihanna.
I'm poking fun at all these people that tell you they don't watch television,
right?
Or they don't know what American Idol is, mm-hmm. or they only watch Masterpiece Theater, and they're so full of it. They know exactly what the other things are, but they're trying to make them seem as though they're intellectual. And in fact, what they do is they make themselves look older. They make themselves look incredibly unhip. When I'm around people that are in their 80s, but they're hip, they know things, they stay on it, they read, they keep up, it makes them young in spirit. And that's what it's about. It's not about acting your age. It's about acting in a way that keeps you motivating and motivated and exciting to be around. And, you know, the next to the last thing is don't talk about your children. It's another thing, you know, you talk to people and you want to talk about politics or you want to talk about culture or you want to talk about, you know, a new development that they just put up. And all they want to talk about is their kids and the kids' grades and the kids' boyfriend or girlfriend. And it's like, yawn, yawn, yawn. I'm going into a coma. Please, people, act younger than you are. Talk about things that that tickle my brain. I want to have fun. I want to have fun when I'm with you. I don't want to be dragged down into your problems and your, you know, your constipation. I'm not interested in that. Keep that to yourself. Too much information.
TMI.
TMI. TMI. I don't want to hear about it.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's interesting. When I hear some of that stuff going on, or I hear somebody trying to exaggerate their wonderfulness and what their accomplishments are, and I really have a hint or a clue or know better, it's my standard response, if only to myself sometimes, is roll up your pants. It's too late to save your shoes. They're just spreading it too thick.
Yeah, I agree. You know, and that's another great thing about when you're fabulous, when you really see the results, when you start to see your reputation and people talking about you or someone sending you an email and saying, you know, my husband heard me talking to you and he heard me laughing and he knew that I was talking to you. When you start to see all these things accrue, you don't have to tell me you're fabulous. You don't have to tell me you're wonderful. I'll know it. And the people that have to tell you how wonderful they are, they're not going to beat it into me. It's either you are or you're not. And all these self-important people are very, very dull. They're not exciting to be with. I want you to make me feel good about myself. And then I'll make you feel good about yourself. You don't have to drum it into my head that you're wonderful or that your husband's wonderful or that you go to Europe every vacation. I don't want to hear about it. I want to hear about the important things, something that's touched you, something that's made you realize something about yourself that maybe is not even the most flattering, but that you've come to grip with the fact that, you know, you need to work on something. I love it when people are honest with me. Authentic. People that are authentic are fabulous. They don't pose. They don't pretend. They're not grandiose. They're just who they are. And they're not embarrassed that they grew up in maybe in a one-bedroom apartment and their parents slept in the living room. I mean, my husband came from very modest means. The only way for him to go to college was to win as many scholarships and borrow as much money as he could. unlike his brother, who is very embarrassed by his meager upbringing, my husband's very proud that his parents urged him to go to college. They didn't, and they encouraged him in every which way. So, you know, everyone looks at it differently. But to me, that's about your character. That's about relishing who you are, appreciating what was given to you, and trying to give to others. That's what being fabulous is all about.
Well, there's nothing at all wrong, in my opinion, with having a good sense of self-accomplishment, that you've accomplished whatever it is that you've accomplished. I've got a son-in-law that has accomplished quite a number of things in his young days, his young years, and he's proud of what he's done, and he's rightfully proud of what he's done. He's gotten himself a law degree, he's paid off his student loans, and so on and so forth. He did it all on his own, and he's got a nice house, he's got a beautiful wife, my daughter. He's got two beautiful grandchildren that they've had, and we love them to death. But there's them as a couple, there is a sense of accomplishment there. And it's not being stuck up. It's not being a smart ass, pardon my Spanish. But it's a genuine sense of accomplishment. And I admire it. And I've told my daughter, it was her anniversary. I said, Deborah and I are very proud of all you've accomplished. And rightfully so, they should be proud of what they've accomplished.
Well,
they've done it on their own.
You should be proud of yourself. You should be proud of your accomplishments. The only thing I differ with, and it's not about your son-in-law, but there are people who've accomplished things and never stop reminding you about it.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
And that, to me, is not fabulous. That's obnoxious. The goal of being fabulous is to accomplish, is to reach your goal, is to get to where you want to be, is to accomplish things, is to keep flying and not landing. But you've got to do it with a certain panache. You have to be interested in others and not make yourself the center of your world. And when you make others a priority, you get so much out of it. Giving to others is the greatest gift you can do. And you will benefit from it as well.
A little while ago, you're absolutely right. I do agree with that. The chickens, another thing, another old saying is the chickens will come home to roost. And when the chickens are coming home to roost, you want them there. You want them to be there because it's nice to have those chickens home to roost. You don't want them to come home to roost to start pecking at you and doing you under. It's kind of the way I look at it. Whenever the chickens are coming home to roost, I go, it's okay. I don't have any problem with them coming home. But other people have, the chickens are coming home to roost. Boy, am I in trouble now, because it's catching up with them. And it can't be enjoyable when that happens. It just can't be, I would imagine.
Well, I agree with you. The thing that's wonderful about fabulous is no one is born fabulous. You become fabulous. You admire people. You look at somebody's qualities and you say, I'd love to have that quality. And you mimic them and you model yourself after them. And it's all about observation. Looking around, looking at the world, looking at people. Open your eyes. Don't look down at the BlackBerry or the cell phone. Look up. Look around you. The world is full with so many interesting people, and we somehow just keep looking down at our blank screens and fiddling and playing, crazy birds or whatever game that is. I leave my cell phone back in the office when I take a walk. I don't have to stay tethered to my cell phone. I think that we have to capitalize on every opportunity we have to get in front of people, to make an impression, to show warmth, to show authenticity, passion for what we are, for what we want to do, and really enliven the world with our brio, with our energy. And that's what sets people apart. And that really is your chainmail armor, when you are that kind of person, you can weather the tough times because people will rally to your side.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'd like to talk a little bit. You mentioned it earlier in our conversation, and I'd like to go back to talking a little bit more about it with regard to etiquette and so on. But I'd like to talk with you about it as it regards social media. The use of Facebook, and there's things on Facebook that people say, and I just go, oh my gosh, you know, this is not the forum for that, you know, or whatever the case might be. And people write things in Twitter and whatever else, and I go, this is just not the forum for that, in my opinion. And I would just like to get some comments from you with regard to the social media.
I'm not a good tweeter. I don't use Twitter. I think it's there. I don't think you're interested in what I have to say minute by minute. So I prefer to not do that. In terms of Facebook, I don't use my personal page. Facebook has a requirement. You must have a personal page. That's where you read everybody's stupid comments. I only have a Ellen Lubin Sherman public figure page. And on that page, I post my blogs. I post fabulous pictures with captions. Wherever I go into the city. I go to Brooklyn. I go everywhere and take pictures of fabulous stores and windows. But it's funny about the Facebook thing. I want to get to it only because my husband resisted it. And I said to my husband, Mark, listen, get a Facebook page for one reason alone. If you meet someone and he says, are you on Facebook? And you say, yes, you don't really have to use it. But as long as it has your name and a short paragraph of what you do, it's a shorthand message that you're cool and you've adapted the social media. All I recommend is to have your name and a short paragraph about yourself. You never have to write a thing on it. But it's a shorthand that, yeah, I'm on Facebook. I'm on Facebook, and it sort of like shaves 10 years off your life. It sort of makes, if you're 60, suddenly you're 50, because it shows that you adapt. And the people that say, no, I'm not on Facebook, no, I don't return emails, if you have an email address and you send me an email and I respond to you and then I never hear from you again, then you don't really have email, because email is an implicit understanding that if you're going to write to me and I'm going to write to you back and you're not going to answer the question, then you have email, you don't use email. And you should say that to someone. I have email, but I don't use it. I prefer if you pick up the phone. Tell us. We won't use the email. But again, it makes you look old. It makes you look like you're a doddering fool. You've got to use these social media platforms in a way that works for you. I totally think that everyone should have a Facebook page with a little paragraph, two lines. Mark Sherman lives in New Jersey and works in this company and enjoys racing vintage cars. That's all it has to say about him. So if somebody decides he wants to find Mark Sherman, he finds Mark Sherman and he writes him a note. That's all.
And that's the contact, and that's fine. And that way Mark Sherman doesn't have to worry about putting all of his life on Facebook.
No! No, I don't want to know about your life. I'm not interested. I skip right into my Ellen Lubin Sherman public figure page. I never look at my personal page because I'm embarrassed what people write. I'm embarrassed to them that they would think it would be of interest to me that they've switched veterinarians.
Exactly.
I'm embarrassed to them. I'm embarrassed.
My dog got into my wine supply, and now he has cirrhosis of the liver. I don't care.
Exactly. None of us do. But for some reason, these young people communicate via Facebook, And they're missing out on all the interpersonal skills so that when they go for an interview, they don't know how to speak about themselves in a way that's very positive without sounding like they're bragging, because they haven't had the experience on one-on-one conversations.
Well, here's another issue I find with, and I find it with Facebook as well as with Twitter, and I don't text. I do not text. My fingers don't move fast enough. My thumbs are too fat. And
text to people's phone?
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh.
I do not text. I accept texts, and I'll read what they say, and if there's something there of interest, well, then I'll call them. But I'm not going to sit there and text them back. I just, that bothers me. And I'm, in many respects, I'm the same way with Twitter. We use Twitter just strictly for business. There's an upcoming show. Ellen is going to be on our show.
That's great, right?
140 characters. But I think, I know, that you can absolutely destroy your personal brand, your business brand, your fabulousness, all of that stuff, with 140 poorly chosen characters.
You got to be really careful, because all these platforms, all these mediums are extension of your brand. And if you're going to text somebody and all the words are misspelled, you've just lost all your credibility. If you're going to tweet and you're going to forget to give me the link to the article, then I'm going to think you're a complete nincompoop. You know, everything we do has to be right on, top notch. If you want to be fabulous, you got to work at it. And when I say work at it, people go, oh, forget it. I don't want to work at it. Why not? Why don't you want to work on it? What's the joy in life but work? Work by knitting or cooking or planting a garden or working at an organic farmer's market or leading a meeting or doing a presentation or doing a radio show. It's fun to work, especially when you find your passion. So if you're not, the text messaging I do, it's sometimes I have to do it because I know that they'll respond. My children do not respond to email. They never look at their email, but if I need to reach them and I text message their phone, they will respond to me. So you have to also know the culture. You know, a person who's 70 is not a person I would text message.
I
would probably pick up the phone with them. I wouldn't make the assumption they have email unless I ask them, are you on email? Do you use it? Again, do you use it? When people say they have it and don't use it and don't respond, it's very frustrating. So we've got to own up to what we do, what we don't do, and be very considerate of others. Don't cancel a meeting 10 minutes before with a text message and assume that I have text messaging on my cell phone. Call me. Tell me the meeting's been rescheduled, the meeting's been postponed, the meeting's been moved. We don't all have these smartphones.
Right.
Be considerate.
It has to do, I think, with the appropriateness of the type of communication method you use based on whatever the topic or the situation is. I'm going to make a real quick statement here, and I'd like to get your reaction to it. I feel that if you're tweeting, texting, which I don't do, but I'm including it in there because it's the use of words, and emailing, that when you put whatever it is that you put on that system, you have to make sure that it is exactly what you want to say, and it doesn't have double meaning, not from a nastiness or a decency standpoint, but it can't be misconstrued. It's black and white, and people have to remember, it is black and white. They only have the words that you put on the paper. And if you put a word or two on that paper that might be offensive to them and it is not at all what you wanted to say, or it can be interpreted differently, you could be ruining your brand.
Well, you're right, because there's no tone in any of these things.
Exactly.
I can write something, a person that I know always answers her email, sure. I never know if she's saying, sure, like, oh, God, or sure, I'll be happy to do it. So these one-word brusque answers don't work for me because there's no tone in the email. There's no tone in the Twitter. And again, I say it's an extension of your brand. If your brand puts an emphasis on excellence, then everything that comes out of your paper or your text or your voicemail or your Twitter, everything has to be perfect because otherwise don't bother. Don't bother. It's just going to dilute your power, your influence, your credibility. Those are the things that you want to make sure are always sacrosanct so that you can walk around and know that you are considered a super performer and therefore fabulous.
I want to make one more comment, if you don't mind, and get your reaction to it. And then we're going to have to kind of wrap up here and make sure that everybody knows where to find this fabulous book that you've written. But it's my feeling that everything we've talked about today on some level has to do, obviously, with fabulousness and the way people think of you, but it all has to do with nuance. It has to do with that tone that you mentioned. That the whole thing has to do with the little stuff that goes to make up Ellen Lubin Sherman. What is it? What is the nuance? What do we know about her that is, we get the shading and we get I still go with nuance. What do you think of that?
Well, I hope that people find me amusing. I hope that people find me to be generous and warm and accessible and helpful. I think about my legacy every day, and I want to leave the world a little better place. And as I told my husband, I hope my salespeople call you to let you know about the funeral. He said, yeah, they'll be probably crying the hardest. But seriously, you know, it's an opportunity. We could go through our life, or we can just generate excitement through our life. We have so many opportunities. Grab them, take them, make yourself so delicious and delectable that people want to spend time with you. They value you. It's so great to be surrounded by people that adore you, and you should adore other people. And if you can find one or two people that are truly fabulous, be so happy for yourself because those people are going to enhance your life. And you're right. It has to do with your heart. And if your heart is open and your heart is ready to accept people, you're going to really have a wonderful, blessed life.
Well, Ellen, those are good words to end our conversation on today. I really do appreciate the fact that you've taken the time to be with me on the show today.
Well, my pleasure.
How can people get in contact with you, buy your book, find out more about everything else that it is that Ellen Lubin Sherman does?
Okay, I'm on Facebook at Ellen Lubin Sherman Public Figure. The book, The Essentials of Fabulous, is at Amazon.com. It's on the iTunes bookstore, so you can download it. It's on the Kindle. You can download it. I'm at Ellen at EssentialsOfFabulous.com if you want to have a conversation with me. I always respond to every comment on my blog. I blog twice a week, and I try to talk about things that I think would be amusing and provocative to the readers. And I have a very sizable following, and people seem to rejoice when they see my name in the inbox because they know they're going to be amused, or maybe they'll just think about something in a different way. I'm not a big tweeter, so I'd rather not talk about that. But I do post a lot of fun pictures of fabulous things, whether it's stores or windows or people at the opera or somebody walking down the street with a beautiful pair of shoes. There's a lot going on my Facebook page, and I enjoy doing it, and people enjoy looking at it. And listen, you got to go with the flow. I mean, this is how people connect, and I want people to connect with me. I like connecting with them.
Well, I can tell that you do, Ellen, and I'm certainly glad that that we connected today, and I greatly appreciate that you've taken the time.
I thank you so much, and thanks for giving me so much time.
Oh, thank you. I enjoyed it, every minute of it. Thanks again.
Have a great Easter and a beautiful Good Friday.
Thank you. You do the same.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye now. You've been listening to the Boomer the Babe Show on Blog Talk Radio, where we bring you good conversation to the world. We've brought you conversation and information today with Ellen Lubin Sherman, author of The Essentials of Fabulous. You can look that up any number of places. She is on Facebook, Ellen Lubin, public figure. And she's also available, I'm sure, on Google. If you Google the title of the book, Essentials of Fabulous, and her name, you can probably find her just about anywhere. So you can listen to the Boomer the Babe Show every Monday through Friday right here at 10 o'clock in the morning, Pacific Coast Time, on Blog Talk Radio. And you can also listen to the shows of our other hosts from time to time as they appear during the weeks and during the months. But remember that we do more than host this radio show. We also have a complete line of informational materials that we can help you to put forward your message via our Boomer Series Experience Speaks, Boomer Series books, ebooks, and mini books, as well as doing some videos for your website. So anything you need in lines of helping to promote your business, please give us a call at Boomer the Babe Incorporated, and you can get us also at boomerthebabe.com. Be sure to make the second half of your life the best half of your life, and make sure also that you enjoy the rest of this week. Tomorrow's show will be a repeat of our Exploring Faith show. We've chosen a program to come up for that, and because this being Holy Week for the good Father of the Episcopal Church that's usually with us, he asked that we do something a little differently this year, so we're going to be doing that, and I want to remember to tell everybody that have a wonderful weekend and enjoy all of your good times with your family along the way. Thanks again, and have a great day, everybody.
Where we bring interesting conversation to the world. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, where we tweet as Boomer and Babe, and on Facebook as Pete Peters 47. As always, you can friend us on Blog Talk Radio or sign up for our newsletter at boomerandthebabe.com. Email us at host@boomerthebabe.com with any of your comments. Remember, at 50, you're just getting started.